We're not supposed to be irritated at Scripture, but sometimes we are. And this might be one of the times that you are. There's a couple of texts that I think are strongly connected. They're our Old Testament lesson and our Gospel lesson. I think you'll probably know exactly where I'm going with these, but just in case, we'll lay it all out. In our Old Testament lesson, we have the story of Jonah picking up well past the fish and all that went on with there. And we have Jonah has gone and preached the most effective sermon in the history of the world, where he has gone into the city of Nineveh and said, "Repent or you're doomed." And they did. They repented. All of them did. The king said, "We're going to do something about this," and included the animals in it and everything. But Jonah was up on the hillside or off a ways, looking to see what would happen to the city. And when the city wasn't destroyed, he was mad. He was really mad. You know, there's anger, and then there's, "It would be better for me to die than to live," anger, which I haven't experienced, if ever, at least not for a very, very long time. But there is Jonah saying, "I knew you were going to do this." And even with that, he was still angry. Now, let's not lose sight of the fact that the people that Jonah is angry with are some of the most... their behaviors were really something, even by the standards of the time. They had oppressed his people. They had killed thousands and thousands. They had taken over things. They were just a really aggressive and unpleasant people overall. So Jonah has, in some ways, has at least, if not a right to be angry, at least it's not unexpected. Because he really wanted God to wipe out Nineveh and all that they had done. So he's out there sitting there. He's got this little shelter that provides enough shade for most of him, but not all of him. So God provided a vine. This vine grows up, shades Jonah's head. Jonah feels much better. Then God, and I love this in this translation, provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. And once again, he wanted to die. He said, "It'd be better for me to die than to live." So God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" And Jonah says, "I do. I am angry enough to die. I'm also angry enough to be completely irrational, I think, at this point," which is understandable. When we get that angry, we're not always our best selves, shall we say. So let's hold on to that for a moment. We have Jonah being so angry he could just expire with anger. And then we have Jesus' most irritating parable, at least for lots of people, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And we have this person who owns a vineyard, goes out and hires people at the crack of dawn, and then throughout the day, finishing an hour before the end of things, he hires a few more people. And then it's obvious that this owner knows something's going on, because he gets the foreman and says, "Okay, I want you to pay the people, but start at the ones who came last." The people who had been hired in the morning were hired on the promise of a denarius, which was apparently the usual wage for a day's work. Roman soldiers got a denarius unless they're in combat, and then they got bonuses and things. And when he goes to hire more people, or when they go to hire more people, they say, "I will pay you whatever is right." Doesn't give an amount. And all these people come and they work through the heat of the day, they do whatever work they can in however many hours they have, and at the end of it, the people who worked an hour get a denarius. And so the people who've been working since the crack of dawn have, I think, the reasonable expectation that they will get more. And they don't. And they are angry. So perhaps today's sermon isn't so much just... why do they deserve that? But maybe today's sermon is all about people being angry with God. And they're being angry because they feel they've been hard done by. Jonah was angry because he felt he'd been hard done by. He did have shade and then it was gone. He didn't kill the vine. He didn't save the people of Nineveh. They're both, this group of people are all angry, and angry for reasons that aren't absurd. But what's going on? At Knox this morning, we baptized twins. What could be better than that? One of the things that I learned having twins, and I think all parents learn this, but with twins you learn it in a different way and maybe earlier, I don't know. But you learn the difference between fair and just, or fair and what's right. When your twins are 4 months old and you buy them the exact same thing, so they're dressed the same and they look cute and they're twins, even though they may not look alike, but they're dressed alike, that's fine, that's fair. As they get older, doing something for both twins because one likes it and the other's sort of indifferent, is that still fair? Every parent who has more than one child, and maybe even with one, I don't know, I never had one, has heard that cry, it's not fair. When something is given to one or the other. And what we found fairly soon, as everybody does with their children, as they develop their own personalities, and it got to the point where if we were going to do something or buy something for one of the twins, we tried to do something equivalent for the other, but not the same, because the same treatment is not always fair treatment. And so the vineyard is a scene where people are saying, this isn't fair. And you'll notice that the owner doesn't say, this was all about fairness from the beginning and I don't care. He says, I'm not being unfair to you. These people complaining. He said, did you agree to work for a denarius? Well, yes, we did. There's your denarius. What's wrong with you? Why are you angry that I'm generous to someone else? You know what this reminds me of? This is a perfect parable for today. And I'm sure you've seen this go by in a meme or heard it somewhere. But for people with privilege, equality for someone else feels like oppression. That's what's going on here. The people who work through the whole day are getting exactly what they were expecting, but suddenly it's not enough. What happened? Well, somebody else got something the same. It's not fair. But is this an injustice being done? I don't think so. Nobody is getting less than they were promised. Some people are getting more. And whether that's just or not doesn't matter, because once again, we're not talking about justice, but I will say that's not an injustice. What it is grace. Grace, that thing that God is all about. Grace, that unmerited favor of God, the unearned favor of God, because we can't earn grace. That's not how it works. And the people at the end of the story got grace. The people at the beginning who came the whole day, it wasn't that they were mistreated. They may not have gotten the same kind of grace, but they got everything that they were expecting. One of the things that helped me with this story when I was annoyed at it, when I was a younger person in my late 20s in particular, is somebody said, you realize, of course, that you're the worker who started at 5. You're not the one who started at the crack of dawn. I thought, oh yeah, that's right. I spent the first 25 years of my life not in any way behaving in a way that would suggest to anyone that I would end up here in a position to preach with integrity. Nobody would have thought that. But really, have any of us started at the crack of dawn? And does it matter? We're angry here. We're annoyed here, not because we have been harmed. Whoever we put ourselves in here, we haven't been harmed. We just haven't gotten as much as we think we want. Jonah wasn't harmed in the account we have. Jonah wasn't harmed by the salvation of the people of Nineveh. I mean, he might have got a sunburn on his head, and if he has hair like mine, that would be a real issue. But he wasn't harmed by God's goodness. And that's why I was so grateful that the lectionary gave us these options for this Sunday for the baptism. Because one of the things that baptism does, and it's most obvious when we're baptizing helpless babies, is that baptism reminds us that God always reaches first. God always reaches out to us before we can reach toward God. It's all grace. Being hired to work in a vineyard is grace. When we look at this story, at this parable, the landowner has no obligation to hire those people. If the landowner decided, I don't care, I'm going to let the grapes just rot and they will fertilize the soil and next year it will be even better. I don't know if that works with grapes, I don't know much about plants, but maybe it does. If the landowner had come to that conclusion, was the landowner being unjust to anyone? No. It's all grace. Everything about this is grace. And it reminds us again that grace frustrates us, except when we're getting it. Everybody loves the idea of grace for me. Sometimes we're really happy about grace for others, and sometimes we're not. These people who work from the crack of dawn, I don't know what it's like to work in a vineyard, but I can't imagine it's easy. I think the grapevines have little pokey things on them. I mean, at least they must have something that makes it even more uncomfortable than just sort of standing around. But they got what they asked for. They got what they agreed for. And it doesn't mean that they're bad either. There are no villains in this story. And if we try to find one, we're going to end up with a really bad interpretation of some sort. What we have in this story is a reminder that God is always reaching out first. That God is always the one who goes and finds people to work in the vineyard, to push the analogy. That God reaches out to us when we're infants, through our parents and through the community of faith we're part of. That God reaches out to us at whatever age we are. God reached out to me when I was a baby, when I was in my early 20s getting my attention, in my late 20s when I got married, and all of these. God is always reaching out to me and saying, here are things for you. Sometimes here are things for you to do. Often it's, here's something that I know you'll like. And no, you don't have to pay me for it. You don't pay for gifts. And you can't buy grace. When we start asking ourselves, why does that person deserve that? Or when we start saying things like the sermon title, but they don't deserve it. Let's keep in mind that the they includes us. And that the grace of God is extended to us because we can't earn it. Because we can't get it ourselves. God knows that and reaches out to us because God loves us. Is that fair? I'm not interested in fair. I'd much rather have grace. Amen.